In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Great to be here with you as always, my friends. And today is Wednesday. You know what that means. Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We'll break open God's Word for the readings for this Sunday, which will be the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. You know, and I thought this would be a good time to just remind everybody why we're doing Word of God Wednesday. You know, when we first encounter our Lord, where do we meet Him? In the Word, right? In fact, John reminds us of this in the prologue of his Gospel. In the beginning, right, we see that in the first three verses of Genesis, we see the Trinity right there in those first three verses. And John reminds us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, and in verse 14, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we first encounter God and the Word and the Spirit in the Word that became flesh. We first encounter in the pages of Scripture, which of course are not just words on the sacred page inspired by the Holy Spirit, which they are, of course. But more importantly, the Word is Jesus, right? The Word that became flesh. So when we encounter the Scriptures, it's helping us to encounter Jesus. It's helping us to deepen our relationship with Him. We get to know Jesus through the Gospels. Well, we get to see Jesus foretold in the Old Testament, right? So we see everything in the revealed Word is pointing toward our Lord. And so we as Catholics, the church that was founded by Jesus Christ Himself, you know, was given this great gift of Word, the Word, the Scripture and tradition, right? Which is the two legs, the three-legged stool. The other stool, leg of the stool, is the magisterium, the teaching authority of the church that guards and protects the revealed Word, both in Scripture and in sacred tradition. And so Scripture is an integral part of how we get to know Jesus and is central to the life of the church. Now, we're often, you know, Catholics say, well, you guys don't know your Bibles. You don't know the Word. And I think that stemmed from the fact that back in the day, well, in the early church, there were no books, right? I mean, there were no Bibles, right? So these letters from Paul, right, and the stories of Jesus were read during Mass, you know, but we weren't compiled in a book that we know today as the Bible. That didn't happen. Well, the approved canon didn't happen all the way to the 4th century, right, with the Council of Rome, and then Hippo and Carthage. So it happened to like the end of the 4th century, where we have 282, then 393, then 397, the Council of Rome, the Council of Hippo, and the Council of Carthage. Those were the ones that confirmed the canon, right? And canon in Hebrew means measuring stick. This was the measure by which we know that these books were approved by the church because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so that's how we got the Bible, the canon as we know it today. But a lot of people couldn't read, right? And so it was up to those who were educated, who at that time, of course, were the monks and the clergy, to read the Word and explain the Word to people. So I think that carried even all the way into the 1950s and 60s, where people just, you know, there was a perception that, well, we really don't really engage God's Word. That's really up to the priests and the deacons, the professionals, you know, the theologians that, you know, to help us, you know, interpret God's Word. We don't have to spend a lot of time in God's Word. Well, Vatican II turned that whole notion on its head. Documents like Dei Verbum, the Word of God, you know, clearly shows that we are to engage Scripture more deeply. Everybody, not just for the Scripture scholars and professionals, but everybody's to engage God's Word. That's why in Sacrosanctum Concilium, the document on the liturgy, they opened up the word. Now there's even a deeper breadth of scripture that's being read at Mass. In fact, if you go to daily Mass, plus read the Psalms, you pray the Liturgy of the Hours every day, and go to Mass on Sunday, you know, you're going to have, I mean, probably 90% of the Bible. Again, I'm including the Liturgy of the Hours in that as well, which has the office of readings, right? So you have the Mass readings and the office of readings, which of course includes scripture. In fact, right now in the office of readings, we're reading through 2 Samuel with David. You know, so it's awesome. And so, you know, so now we have to engage God's word. So what we're trying to, and what's the primary place we engage God's word? At the Mass, we have the Liturgy of the Word. And in the Word, we're not just sitting there like spectators, you know, being massed at for an hour. Oh yeah, these readings are going on. Meanwhile, your mind is wandering. You're thinking about IHOP or whatever you got to do after Mass. No, that's the time to really to listen and to hear how God is speaking to you in and through that Word. How is God is speaking to your life, to your situation, to your needs, to your heart. Right? That's what, and when we engage God, where he's speaking to us, he's sharing his life with us, the readings prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls to then receive him again, body, blood, soul, divinity, and the Eucharist, right? So the Liturgy of the Word is critically important. In fact, I have a little book called The Mass in Scripture, which goes through the entire Mass. Like it's from the beginning, like in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all, with your spirit, from start to finish, including Eucharistic prayer number 2, right? And I show where every line comes from the Bible. So our Mass is soaked in Scripture. We're drowning in Scripture as Catholics. You know, Scripture is an essential part, but what we have to do, I think, better is to see ourselves in that word. So now there's so many unbelievable resources for Scripture right now. And I know for me, what really got me to fall more deep in love with Scripture was studying under Father Mitch Pacwa at the University of Dallas for graduate school. You know, because I was, you know, there, of course, getting a master's in theology so I could be a deacon, which is required in our archdiocese. What I did not expect was to fall in love with Jesus more deeply because of a deeper understanding of Scripture, which included, in my case, you know, Hebrew, learning Hebrew and Greek, some Greek. I'm better in Hebrew, actually. And all that from Father Mitch. And that opened my mind to looking at Scripture and encountering our Lord in a completely new way. And it was that inspired me to not only to the diaconate, but to the work that I'm doing now, you know, where I left my secular career and started doing this full time. I think those seeds were laid by teachers like Father Mitch Pacwa that helped me to really fall more deeply in love with his word, you know. And so now, you know, we have, oh my goodness, we have Word on Fire. Father Bishop Barron is doing amazing work there. We have the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma. They're at Steubenville, Ohio, right across the street from Franciscan University of Steubenville, the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, doing incredible work to bring people to a deeper love of Jesus. Of course, come on, EWTN. I mean, we have the beauty of the Mass every day. I don't know how many series they have about the Bible and engaging God's word in a more deeply beautiful way. Plus Father Pacwa's show Scripture and Tradition. There's so many ways that we can engage God's word now. And so we need to take advantage of it. So what I thought I'd do on Beacon of Truth was to do these Word of God Wednesdays. We take the reading for the coming Sunday. So what does that do? You're not hearing the readings for the first time, first of all. And now, by sharing our thoughts, you know, together, like engaging God's word, now when you go to Mass, you go, now I can appreciate God's word even more because now I see how this word is affecting my life. And you're engaging the Mass more deeply. That's the idea of Word of God Wednesday. You know, so that little history, I thought it was important because we've been doing a show for over 2 years now. And you know, I thought, wait, do we really, you know, stop to explain, you know, why we're doing Word of God Wednesday? I thought it'd be just kind of to go back, take a little step back and kind of recap a little bit about why we're doing Word of God Wednesday, which I thoroughly enjoy. We got some great readings for this Sunday. We also got some great people bringing you this show every day. I'm talking about Matt Gabinski, who will be screening your calls today. Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles helping us out on social media. And the one and only Ace McKay. Ace, how's it going, brother?
Hey, living the dream. You know, it's summertime. I can't complain much more beyond that, right?
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, we'll be diving into God's Word on this Word of God Wednesday, taking a look at the readings for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Grab your Bibles and follow along, my friends. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I was thinking about you because after the show, I took my son to lunch. You know, usually we do sushi, but he goes, yeah, you know what? Dad, I'm tired of sushi. Let's do something else today. So we went to this great burger place.
Tired of sushi? I'd check his head.
Well, I mean, every time we go, we go to sushi. And I did not notice his mom took him to sushi I was in Barbados.
Fair.
So I'm like, okay. And so while we were driving to the place, I said, what are you listening to, son? So he put on his playlist. And I forget the name of the group, but I've never heard it before. It was like bluegrass rock.
Okay.
I don't know what you call it today.
Like a Western metal kind of vibe?
No. It's like a contemporary, like a contemporary sound, like... a modern day version of like the Smiths or,
like Susie and the Banshees and
with a decidedly bluegrass feel. I'm like, whoa, that is, you know, we talked yesterday about mixing genres and, you know, I was like, wow, that was really interesting and good playing too. I mean, good musicians and great vocals and chord change. I'm like, wow, that was really cool, actually.
Yeah, there's actually a band called ACDC, and they do bluegrass versions of ACDC songs. It's funny at first, but then if you like bluegrass, you're like, because clearly that's two totally different audiences.
Yeah, now I was never a huge bluegrass person, but the chops on those guys, man. Woo!
Oh,
those guys can play!
Yeah.
Those are some players, man.
I'm the same until I saw Alison Krauss in Union Station, and then I saw her again with Robert Plant. So she's like an island for me. Like, I'm not a bluegrass fan, but I love her music. And, like, she just did a new album not too long ago and put the band back together. So it's that, like, give me, like, little morsels. I don't need the whole plate. I just kind of like it for the one or twos. You know, don't necessarily – I wouldn't call myself a bluegrass fan. I wouldn't necessarily go to a show – of like festival, because you know they have bluegrass festivals in Nashville and wherever, but yeah, it's, you know, sometimes there's those morsels that'll catch you just right.
Yeah, I don't think I could do a whole concert, but like I said, there's some guys out there that are playing have amazing chops.
Yeah,
and I just when you see someone playing like that, or you know, doing what God created them to do, for me, whether it's music or art or theology or an accountant or something, you know,
sure.
when you see them doing what they're upon this earth to do, I think there's nothing greater than that. To see, and when they use those gifts to the best of their ability, and even better if they're honoring God, they may be secular, not even thinking about it, but in their own way, by using the talents in that way, they are honoring God. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Amen.
All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth, and it's Wednesday, so that means it's Word of God Wednesday. Grab your Bibles, my friend. We're breaking open God's Word for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. So we're going to get into the readings very shortly here, but of course, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
course, as we go through the summer, a good chance for you to catch up on some of your EWTN learning series. This is pretty cool because Eucharistic Devotion is available right now. It's free. It's a six-part series, so you can do one a day, one a week, however you want to break it up, share it with your family. But Father Wade Menezes, he's given us more insights along with Mother Angelica and her writings on more understanding and a better passion for the Most Holy Eucharist. So find out more, EWTNmission.com/learn, and then, of course, you can begin your spiritual journey today.
All right, my friends, Word of God Wednesday. Break open God's Word for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we'd love to hear from you. If you have some thoughts about the readings for this Sunday, which we're going to dive into very shortly here, or, you know what, if you just have a general question about Scripture, we'd love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Outside of North America, dial 1, then 205-271-2985. You can always email us at beacon@ewtn.com. And now you can even text your question to 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Just give us your first name, how you're listening, followed by your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. Well, we received a question. This is the third day in a row that we got questions from listeners, which is great. Always love hearing from the Beacon of Truth family. And we got a question today from a listener asking about one of the Psalms.
Hello, I'm calling with a question for Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. He signed a book personally for my son-in-law, Behold the Man. He said, to Michael, Psalm 59, verse 18, and then signed his name. I looked up Psalm 59, verse 18. There is no such thing. I just wanted to clarify with Deacon what psalm or what verse he may be meant to write there. My name is Margaret. My number is 218.
All right. So here's the thing. So what she's talking about is whenever I sign books at an event, whether it's a parish mission or a conference or a retreat, whatever it may be, I always use a psalm verse, obviously, right? I love the psalms. And so I use a different psalm verse for each signature. And I have about 30 different psalms that I use. And so what she's talking about, it wasn't Psalm 69, it was Psalm 59, 18. Because Psalm 69 only has like 16 verses.
Right.
So, and it probably, you know what I think the issue is? My handwriting.
Same.
You know, I
thought when she said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know, exactly, Ace. I think so. I think my five looked like a six to her. And so I go, the fifth. And so that's what people do. They look it up and see, which verse is he talking about here? But yeah, so I think Psalm 69 only has like 16 verses. Let me just take a quick look here. Yeah, Psalm 69 has, I was right, 16 verses. So Psalm 59, 18. Right, so Psalm 59:18 is actually a parallelism to what's called it's called a synonymous parallelism to actually verse 10. In other words, they're the same verse repeated in verse 10 and in verse 18. So verse 18 says, "O my strength, to you I will sing praise, for you, O God, are my stronghold, the God who shows me merciful love." Man, I love that verse.
Yeah.
I love that verse. And that's why I use it as part of one of the verse I use for my signature.
Yeah, anytime there's repeats or blatant repeats or rhetoricals, that's where God, I feel like, really gets our attention with some sarcasm, some wit, or just like, come on. Like, common sense can sometimes tell you what I need you to know. But in the event, here's how I'm going to present it to you. So then you go, riddle me this, you know. And so I think that's a lot of times, if you're wondering, especially if you're new to the Bible, trying to understand it, those are always two indicators that there's really a genuine morsel there that you should apply.
Yeah, and God's trying to get your attention. Hey, I'm saying it twice.
Right.
That means this means pay attention, bro.
Yeah. It's like when someone's trying to get your attention. Hey, like, you know, if they don't know your name. I mean, again, you know, two times is the fun.
You know, it was interesting. Typically, when God wants to say something important, he says it three times, right? And so, but obviously in the psalm, it's only twice here. But this psalm, 59, is written by David, right? So Psalms 51 to 72 were written by David. And it says, the prescript says, Al-Tashheth is part of it. That means it's in tone like do not destroy. So there was some tune called Do Not Destroy that David wanted this psalm to sound like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is one of those times I wish I could, you know, like, obviously there was no recording, there's no sheet music to hear what these psalms would have sounded like back then. So I would have loved to hear what this Do Not Destroy song was that David's referring to, and then how it was incorporated into this psalm.
Yeah. Maybe a little bluegrass and a little metal kind of thrown in there. Do not destroy.
Yeah, and it says a michtam le David. Again, we don't michtam is one of those words we don't have a translation for in English.
Yeah.
We don't know what the word meant back at the time that it was used. But it's interesting, the only michtam psalms are those written by David. So that michtam shows up maybe half a dozen times, and all the times it does show up, it's always Davidic psalms.
All right.
So, well, maybe it has something to do with the royal king or something. I even asked Father Mitchell. He doesn't know.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, then.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's speculation, but we just don't know for sure.
So I know, as you know, today's kind of been a, you know, explaining why we do what we do. And a lot of times, I know a lot of people, when they watch the streams, they see you wearing the shirt that you're wearing. And a friend of mine just recently got that emblem as a tattoo. And I realized after months of watching you wear this shirt, don't necessarily know what that means. So for anyone who's watching or has seen you wear the shirt, explain that.
Yeah, so this symbol is a symbol for Christ. So P is the Pascha, right? And the cross is actually not a crucifix, but an actual X.
Yeah.
Right? And so, yeah, this is an ancient symbol for Christ. Because remember, back in the time of the early church, if you mentioned that you were a Christian, you could be killed.
Right.
Right? And persecuted. So they used symbols. For example, the fish. You've seen that, right?
Oh,
ictus.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, how could a fish mean Jesus? Well, ictus, fish in Greek, is there's no J in Latin. So I-C-T-V, because there's no U, V-S. So Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. Jesus Christos, Theos, Virtus, Soter. Jesus Christ, God, Lord, and Savior. So that was so this was another one of those type of symbols that symbolized Christ. So if someone saw you with this symbol, then they knew that you were a follower of Christ.
And then how would you pronounce that emblem or that symbol?
It's just a symbol for Christ.
Okay, all right.
Really simple.
I love that.
Really simple. Yeah. So this is, again, one of the ways that you identified someone that was another Christian.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, actually.
No, and it's a great conversation starter, too, because if people look at it and they just think it's tribal or they think it's, you know, a cult. You just never know what someone's interpretation of art or symbols might be. So it's cool to be able to open that discussion, and it doesn't always have to be a crucifix around your neck or, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah, and we're talking about Word of God Wednesday, you know, and the scripture does use, depending on what book you're looking at, does use some symbolic language.
Yeah.
So it's very important to understand what that symbol meant to the person back at the time when this was being written.
Right.
Because that really gives us a true meaning.
Yeah.
You know, if we try to look at it through the lens of today, then we're going to say, well, wait a minute, we're misinterpreting because we're not looking at it the same way that someone back then would have looked at that same symbol.
So true.
That's important.
Yep.
All right, Word of God Wednesday. We're diving into the readings for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. All right, bring it today.
What do they say? Dance is David dance. Here you go, David.
Woohoo! Banging the head a little bit on the Spirit of God Wednesday.
just for anybody doing their, you know, last few minutes on the treadmill, the elliptical.
Yeah, see, that's it, man. Like, yeah, so when I'm at the hotel, like when I was in Barbados, it was way too hot. I mean, the lowest humidity was, it was 85%.
Whew.
That was the lowest
yeah.
when I was there. And so I said, there's no way I'm walking out, so I'm going to pass out. So
yeah.
I just used the machine inside. And you're right. So, like, when you get to the end, I usually go on for, like, an hour, 45 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And so I get to the end, I'm, like, dripping in sweat. I just want to stop with 10 minutes left. And, you know, I got to put something like this on to get me through those last 10
Absolutely.
Minutes.
I have to – if it's cardio day, it always has to be a pretty jamming
yeah.
playlist, because otherwise my body's going to be like, what are we doing today?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Love that. Or if you're doing those military workout things you see a lot of people
yes.
doing now.
Yeah.
You know, you need something like this to keep you going, keep that heart pumping, keep you motivated.
I was one of those to do a military workout one summer. My kids were much younger. And, man, talk about pain. Like, I now know why God did not call me into the military, because, woo, that'll get you.
Well, you know, no pain, no gain, as they say.
It's true. I did get some killer abs that summer. So.
Awesome, man.
It was pretty great.
That's terrific. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today it's Wednesday. You know what that means, my friends? Word of God Wednesday. Breaking open God's Word for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We're going to dive into the readings and see how these readings connect to your life and your everyday lived experience. Would love to hear from you today's thoughts on the readings. Or if you just have a general question about the Bible, give us a call today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, fellow friend, radio partner, and also musician, rapper, of course, hosting Ave Maria in the afternoon, Marcus Peter. You can join him each and every afternoon right after our show. So if you haven't had a chance to catch him in a while, you can play catch up and always check it out at Podcast Central. But definitely catch him live today following Beacon of Truth right here on EWTN Radio with Ave Maria in the afternoon.
All right, my friends. Word of God Wednesday, diving into God's Word for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So let's get into the readings a little bit here. So the first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. So this is the latter part. Isaiah has 66 chapters. So this is in the latter part of the book of Isaiah. Very simple reading. Thus says the Lord, just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth shall not return to me void. But shall say, oh, I love that, which actually is plays beautifully into the gospel reading. So just as I love, and I love the nature analogy, David does this very often in the Psalms as well, using analogies from nature to make a spiritual point. And Isaiah is powerful here. So imagine, and this is a great visual. Rain comes down, waters the earth, and evaporates and goes back up and makes cloud, and that cycle repeats over and over again. So the rain comes down. It does what it does. It waters and fertilizes and gives life and then goes back again. And then that cycle continues. So Isaiah is saying that the Lord is saying same thing with his word. His word comes from his mouth, goes down into us, and does not come back to him void. Right? I said, whoa, that's evangelization. Right? He's speaking about laying the seabed for the process of evangelization. Absolutely love that. And of course, Psalm 65, the seed that falls into the ground will yield a bountiful harvest. Psalm 65, awesome, awesome psalm. Again, another psalm also written by David as well. Then Romans chapter 8 from St. Paul. I consider the sufferings of this present time as nothing compared to the glory to be revealed in us. For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God, right? So we're waiting for God to reveal himself to us. Love that. And then, Matthew 13, one of my absolute favorite parables from Matthew. And this is the one I use all the time in my talk that I give on effective evangelization. So you all know this story, but just quickly. Jesus spoke at length in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up, some on rocky ground, and it could not grow because it was too rocky. The soil was not deep enough. The sun rose and it scorched it, withered for lack of roots. Some fell among the thorns that choked it. Some fell on rich soil and it produced fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear. And so the disciples said, why do you always speak in parables? You know, and he said, you know, and he said, the mystery of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. So in other words, I'm here to impart God's teaching to them. So I'm using language and stories that they can understand, right? So this, the parable of the sower, this is an agrarian society. So they know what it means to plant and to sow, and seeds fall on certain types of ground, it doesn't grow. That's a strong visual for them that he's now applying to the work of evangelization, of sharing the faith. Sometimes that seed of faith may fall on a person's heart and it's rocky, it's stony, like people in the culture, they don't want to hear anything you have to say about the church. Maybe even your own kids, right? People are you know, they don't want to hear it. Or the roots don't go deep enough. They hear the word, it sounds good to them, but it just is not enough for them to make that commitment to follow Christ quite yet, because the roots don't go that deep. And so Jesus has to explain to them, you know, that I'm speaking in parables so they can understand why I'm here. You know, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. You know, not like the prophets. You know, Isaiah and the other prophets, they never got a chance to see the fulfillment of whom they were prophesying about. But the apostles saw and heard the revealed word of God through the word that became flesh himself. So the last part of the gospel, Jesus goes on to explain what he means, right? The seed sown on the path is one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals it away. You know, so the faith, and let's be real. Sometimes this is what happens with Catholic school. You know, kids go, they learn all kinds of stuff about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They don't have a relationship, a deep, intimate relationship. I'm not blaming or pointing finger. I'm just saying, so many times we hear that I went to Catholic school, but still I'm not living. As if now, Catholic school is not the panacea, right? But if we as parents send kids to Catholic school with the expectation that they're going to be Catholic when they're done, it's not just a Catholic school, right? It has everything to do with relationship. So, you know, whether it's youth group or Catholic schools, whatever, that's just one piece of the puzzle. That's just one piece. If the seed is on rocky ground, they hear the word received with joy, but it has no root, so it only lasts for a time. You know, for example, someone that's engaged to be married, someone that's engaged to be married to a Catholic, you know, they may say, oh, yeah, I want to become Catholic, you know, and but they're only doing it for the person that they're engaged to. They would not do it otherwise. And when I was doing marriage prep for people in that situation, I said, well, then don't become Catholic. Whoa, Deacon, you're discouraged. Oh, no. If you're doing it because of the other person, that's not the reason to do it. Because say things don't work out and you've made this commitment to become Catholic and you only did it for her or for him, you know, then what? I'm not going to live my Catholic faith because I only did it for her. Then you shouldn't have become Catholic in the first place. It's about deepening relationship and intimacy with the Lord, right? So Jesus explained all different situations when the seed falls and doesn't take root, or the birds come and take it away, whatever the situation may be. But here's the key. The seed can't grow if the seed's not there. So Jesus does the hard part of tilling the soil and giving it fertilizer and allow that seed of faith to grow. What does St. Paul say? I seeded, Apollos watered, God gave the yield. So it's God who has to give the yield in that rich soil of faith. But he leaves work for us, which is throwing the seed. The seed can't grow if the seed's not there. So God will take the seed and grow, but we are the ones that God left us the work of throwing the seed, of planting the seed, so that God can do his work from there. And that's why I think the power of the reading is about today. So when we share the love of our Catholic faith in response to God's grace with passion, when you're in love, you want to share with everybody about the person that you love. We do it with our spouses or our fiancés, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever it may be. But why don't we do that with Jesus? Why aren't we so excited to share about our relationship with Jesus. Because I don't want to sound like a nut. I don't want to sound like some religious freak. You want to sound like a person who's in love. You can't live without this person. That's what you want to sound like. Don't worry about what other people think. Because that is a way of planting that seed of faith in that person's heart. Because we are all sowers planting seeds. It's the Holy Spirit that allows the seed of faith to take root and grow in us. And if we freely and lovingly cooperate with God and all the things he wants to do in our life, then God's Spirit, that seed will bear fruit, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others as well. Right? So we have to never stop learning about the faith, never stop asking questions, struggling, and striving to live the faith with passion, enthusiasm, and joy. The big mistake that we make in this work is thinking that we can convert people. I just know if I give them this argument from St. Thomas Aquinas, if I just do A, B, C, and D, they will become Catholic. No, we can't convert anyone, especially those who are close to us, like our own children. Trying to convince people to be Catholic, making apologetics or theological arguments, that's not the way. Now, those are all good, but that's not where you start when you're trying to bring somebody to the Lord. You have to start with relationship and love first. Would love to hear your thoughts as we hear about the parable of the sower, breaking open God's word for this Word of God Wednesday. Give us a call, 833-288-EW10. Would love to hear how you are spreading the seed of faith. How are you being the farmer sowing the seed of faith in the lives of others? 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986. Remember, you can also text us at 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Just give us your first name, how you're listening, followed by your brief question or comment. Remember that message and data rates may apply. So one of the things that we want to do when we're evangelized, again, the whole idea is helping people to encounter the life-changing love of Jesus Christ. That is the goal, to help people encounter the life-changing love of Jesus. Now, this is why it can't just be one thing. So, for example, if I'm homeschooling my child, that's wonderful. But if I think homeschooling is the answer to keep my kids Catholic, no. If I send my kids to youth group, or confirmation class, or Catholic school, those are all great, wonderful, amazing things. But those are tools in the toolbox. Any one of those is not a panacea. Well, if I just send my kid to Catholic school, if I send my kid to youth group, if they get confirmed, they'll be Catholic. No, they need to have a deep, intimate relationship. Now, these other things will give them the knowledge, and the sacraments will give them the grace, but they have to cooperate with the grace. You have to cooperate with what they're being taught. They have to see the connection between what they're learning about Jesus and what does any of that have to do with my life, my lived experience. That's the key. And when they're in love and they see Jesus, that they're making decisions based on that deep, intimate relationship with the Lord, that is when the rubber hits the road. And that is when they will never leave the faith, because now they see when they're at Mass, now I see what all that stuff and that all that has to do with me. I see how God is feeding me literally with his life in that most blessed sacrament. And when I receive God's love and God's life in that sacrament, that impels me to act, that impels me to live a certain way, that impels me to think in a certain way, even if it means being countercultural, even if it means I'm going to be rejected, mocked, scorned, and laughed at, even if it means it's going to cost me, my parents' love, right? What does Jesus say? If you love father, mother, brother, sister more than me, you're not worthy of me. Woo! That's some strong teaching by Jesus. But again, we're not deliberately trying to cut our family out, but we can't put anything or anyone else above the love of Jesus. And this is the planting of the seed, what Jesus is talking about today. That seed is going to bear strong fruit if it is deeply rooted. And we are the ones that God has called to throw that seed. You know, we're not the ones that have to, we don't do the heavy lifting. Jesus did the heavy lifting. He lifted that cross on his shoulders and carried it all the way to Calvary and died on that cross so that we could live forever, or give us the opportunity to enter into his love so that we can live forever, right? So he did the heavy lifting. So he's the one that's going to have to grow that seed. We just have to make sure that the seed is there, that we've provided an opportunity for this person to encounter the love of Jesus Christ. To me, that's what Jesus is talking about today. I would love to hear your thoughts on this Word of God Wednesday, Breaking Open God's Word for the 15th Sunday of Ordinary Time, Matthew's description of the parable of the sower, 833-288-EWTN. Maybe you want to share with us how you have thrown the seed of faith in the lives of others, or maybe someone did that for you, 833-288-3986. Now, Jesus points to some very real obstacles to living a very active and vibrant faith. So what is our response when we come face to face with truth? Do we allow the seed to fall on the ground and never take root deep within us, where Jesus says the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in our hearts? So think about that for a second. So say someone... Yes, I learned about my Catholic faith. I know the I can recite all the Ten Commandments. I can do all this stuff. But if it doesn't take deep root in their hearts, there's some philosopher or some college professor or some girl, or, you know, if you have a son or some boy, if you have a daughter, that's going to come. And if their faith is not deeply rooted, they're going to convince them that, belief in God just for weak-minded people. Or the Catholic Church has too many rules and commandments. If they don't understand how those rules and commandments actually free us, they don't enslave us. That's the thinking of the culture. The rules and commandments and moral codes of our faith actually free us to become more of the person who God created us to be. That's the key. And that's what we need to get across to our young people. It's called virtue, right? Are we Catholic only to the point where we feel comfortable and ignore the church's teaching on difficult issues? So sometimes this causes a disparity within the life of the church. You know, they try to label you. Are you, and I hate these terms, liberal and conservative. Actually, I don't think they don't belong in the church at all. Those are political terms. The church is not a political organization. You know, the church is not interested in politics. The church is interested in the fullness of truth and the teachings of Jesus Christ that have become politicized in the culture. It's the culture that politicizes the faith. So you have an issue like marriage or abortion. That's when it becomes politicized. And sometimes it draws a line even amongst Catholics. I am personally opposed to abortion, but I can't tell anybody else what to do. And they try to justify, playing both sides. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Jesus says, in the book of Revelation, I pray that you are either hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You know, so we can't play this thing down the middle. You know, God wants us to say, yes, we're going to live in the fullness of truth or not. At least be honest. You know, at least be honest and don't try to be both. You know, but we have to understand why we believe what we be. Why is life in the womb precious? What does it mean to be made in the image and likeness of God? What are the anthropomorphical implications? This is what Pope Leo XIV has wrote in his beautiful document on AI, right? Magnifica Humanitis, right? The magnificence of humanity. Where he's talking about artificial intelligence, but he starts off that whole letter, which we're going to be talking about on future shows. He starts off talking about giving an understanding of Christian anthropology. What does it mean to be a human being, right? And he roots everything in that understanding of what it means to be human, so that we don't lose ourselves to technology. You know, and so the same thing here. You know, we have a love affair where we enter into a relationship of life in communion with the living God, right? We enter into a heart space with Jesus, you know? So we can't be, one or the other. We have to be, both sides. We have to be either faithful to the church? Either you're Catholic or you're not. Simple. You know, either you agree with the church teaching faith. Now, that doesn't mean you don't struggle. Doesn't mean you don't ask questions. Because I think struggling and asking questions, growth comes from that. The search for truth always leads to deeper growth. You know, so we shouldn't be afraid when people ask questions. Sometimes those questions may be hostile. You guys, you worship a piece of bread. You put a piece of bread in a golden box behind the altar. You kneel down before it. And you say that that's God? That's violation of the first commandment. You have no other gods before me. You know? You have to go to a man to have your sins forgiven in a dark box. You don't have to go to a man in a dark box to have your sins forgiven. All you got to do is pray to Jesus. And blood of the Lamb covers you. You guys don't worship Mary. I've seen videos from that place on, I've seen those internet videos from Lourdes, where you guys hold up statues of Mary and there's people throwing incense and there's flowers and people walking with candles. You can't tell me that's not worshiping Mary. Woo! See, here's the thing. When people, and I've been attacked, I've been attacked worse than that, actually. But when people are angry, see, to me, there's a lack of understanding there. They don't know how to articulate it. So what they do is they yell and scream. So I never take it personally. What I hear is, I'm hurting, please help me. What I hear is, I'm lost, please show me the way. That's what I hear. Because remember, the whole encounter is not about winning arguments. It's not about, when you get attacked like that, you kind of take it personally. You're like, oh, how dare you talk about my faith like that? No. Don't fall for that trap. Just, you know, when you hear people getting angry with you about what you believe, hear this instead. I am hurting. Please help me. I am lost. Please show me the way. So, for example, someone say, you guys think a piece of bread is God? I think that's idolatry. I'm like, oh, my goodness. If that were really bread, you are right. I agree with you 100%. That would be idolatry. But it's not a piece of bread. It's the presence, the real presence of the living God, body, blood, soul, divinity. Let me explain that to you. See, that's the way you don't attack or you don't counter an argument like that with yelling and screaming. You counter with love. You counter with understanding. That's why we have confirmation. We have those beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of them is the gift of wisdom. The other one is the gift of knowledge. Right. So God gives us the ability to be able to respond, but we have to be conscious and cooperate with those gifts in order for those gifts to have power in our lives, right? I think that's the absolute key there. But again, would love to hear from you today as we break open God's Word and it's Word of God Wednesday for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time, talking about Jesus, Matthew's version of the parable of the sower, planting seeds for the kingdom. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. All right, so we are all called to lives of holiness, right? So lives that constitute the simplest and best way to perceive the beauty of truth by experiencing the freeing power of God's love and to acknowledge the value of unconditional faithfulness to all of God's laws, even in the most difficult situations, right? And so when we approach the faith with understanding, when we see like, okay, this is a really really difficult situation, and the key is not to take the easy way out. The key is, how do we respond to this in faith? How do we respond with trust? How do we respond out of a heart of love? Our Lord calls us to be courageous servants of all that is true and good and beautiful. Deep inside our hearts, we know it. Let's not be afraid to live it. Yes, it's unpopular when you get deplatformed or people say things to you or your parents are angry with you or your kids away from the church. I get it. But let's not be afraid to live our faith with passion and conviction. Let's strive to hear the word of God and understand it. Let that word be rich and fertile soil so that God's life may grow in us and in those that we love. Right. And those that we love. That is absolutely critical. So as we think about our family members. So here's the thing. Right. We want to make sure that we're praying and fasting for them. We want to make sure that we're always approaching them in love. that we're not constantly saying, you need to go to church, you're going to go to hell. No. Approach them with love, meeting them where they are. Let's remember that. All right. Awesome. Well, tomorrow we're continuing our series on Reflections of the Rosary, Christ Our Life. Tomorrow we're going to take a look at the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul into heaven. Now remember, you can stream today's show and all of the offerings for EWTN Radio by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio or the EWTN app. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.